This whole year, I want to focus on what it means to follow Jesus. And as I focus on the messages that point our lives to what it means for us, what it takes, folks, you and I, as Christians, have been called by God, gifted by God, for service to Him. Now, how can I serve God and please God in my service? The Scripture tells me that I must serve others. In order for me to be a blessing in ministry to my Father who called me, then I must be a blessing to those and to whom He has called me. God says, I give every one of you a calling, not just to preachers, not just to Sunday school teachers, not just people that you see as in leadership roles. Each one of us as individuals are called to be leaders in the ministry to which God has called us. God said, I'm going to give you whatever you need to make certain that the ministry I've called you to is done. So where does that leave us? If the Word of God says, I have called you, I have blessed you, I have given you the talent, I have given you the strength, I have given you the courage, where does that leave us when we say, but Lord, I can't. Lord, I know that you love me, but I'm having trouble loving others. One of the keys to love others is that you must first love yourself. Love yourself enough to give your heart to Christ. Because Jesus' love is based on that exact term, love. His Father, God, is love. Therefore, God's children, us, we must love. We must care. We must care about the broken. We must care about those individuals who have never heard the gospel. I've heard an interesting statement over the years of everybody in America has heard the gospel. You know, I'm not so sure about that. Because in order for everybody in the United States to have heard about the gospel of Jesus, the gospel means death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Gospel means good news. Because it is obvious that the gospel is not always taught from the pulpit or in the church. Living a good life is great. You know, coming to church is wonderful. Hearing the gospel preached, that's amazing that God would love us enough to allow us to even open our mouths and to proclaim His truth. It takes love to love me. Think about that. It takes God's kind of love to put up with each other, right? But with all the brokenness, with all the messes in each individual life, you will never hear God say to you, I don't love you anymore. My God loves me when I'm right and He loves me when I'm wrong. And you and I, in what it means to follow Jesus, we need to understand that the power of love supersedes all the vileness, all the powers of any army, anything any government can say. The power of the love of God supersedes any power in existence in any realm of God's creation. God remains great. God remains the creator of all. Whether we, as individual Christians or as churches, proclaim it the way we should, God still remains a God of love. And God still tells us as his children to share that love. And he says, when you share that love, they will know that you are my child. You know, John the Beloved says, listen, you want the world to know how you love? Christians, you ought to love one another. And in loving one another, the world will witness my true love. Is there a problem in the churches of our generation? Well, there's not a problem any different than there has been in all churches of every generation. And that problem is the lack of godly love. Godly love for one another. Never wanting to see a fellow Christian fall. Always there and ready and willing to pick up. If you're the pastor, then you pick them up. And you start preaching sermon after sermon to them. But that sermon better focus on God's love. Do not accept that which is evil as good. And do not allow good to be counted as evil in your presence. Stand up and be counted. One thing about following Jesus today I want to bring in. As Christians, there are some things we know. Listen, folks, that's why the world does not like Christians. Because you and I say, I know the way to heaven. You and I say, as Christians, there is only one way, and his name is Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven by which a person can be saved. And they said that is arrogance. Frankly, folks, that is godly. That's a statement of love. That's a statement where God says, I so love you, whosoever will, you come on. Whosoever believes, I promise you, God says, that you will be with me. So, as a Christian following Jesus, I want us to look at the five different things that I've listed. There's many of them, but I wanted you to hear these. The five different focuses on what we do know. First focus, we know where God's kingdom is. Now, folks, still in our churches today, there's a great quandary. There's a question after question after question about God's kingdom. You know, one day I will be in God's kingdom. And, you know, I grew up in an era where they preached the gospel evangelistically, but I was truly never taught Bible. I was never raised in Scripture. But I was raised in under preaching. Luke 17, verses 20 through 21. This will be Jesus speaking. Once having been asked by the Pharisees, religious leaders, when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied. Anytime you see in Scripture where Jesus replied, perk your ears up and listen to what Jesus says. He says, the kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, here it is or there it is. Because The kingdom of God is within you. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus said, you're looking at the kingdom. I want you to know, Jesus says, that my kingdom is already come. My kingdom is within you. When I said yes to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life, as any of us do as Christians, my friends, the kingdom of God has already come. The kingdom of God is not something I go to. The kingdom of God is something God gave to us. He came to us. It is the Holy Spirit of God that brings us under conviction. It is God who says, wake up, pay attention. I'm showing to you the way of the salvation of your real life. This is not my real life in this body. The body that's broken, the body that is dying. The real me, the real you is right inside there. Well, would you please point out where my spirit is? There's a reason God calls it our spirit. Can you see the Spirit of God? But is it not God's Spirit who speaks to us on a daily basis? Have you ever listened to people who say they're so angry at God, they don't even talk to Him anymore? Listen, folks. You and I, when we said yes to Jesus, you and I received all the kingdom of God we're ever going to receive. We've received all the love of God that we can ever receive. My problem and your problem has nothing to do that God has not extended to us the wisdom to see spiritual matters. The older we become doesn't necessarily mean the wiser we are. But folks, the wisdom of God never changes. Man cannot diminish God's wisdom. But God has allowed us, by giving us freedom, free will, to choose to deny or reject His wisdom. Another thing we know, number two, let me get to this. The kingdom of God has already come. I always get ahead of myself when we're talking about the love of God. The kingdom of God has already come. Remember in Luke 17, 20, 21, we're saying, Jesus is saying that it's not a place where you're going to look and say, here it is. The place is already in you as a Christian. Luke 11:20, as Dr. Luke proclaims, these are Jesus' words. But let me give you a little setting on this. This is where Jesus is casting out demons. This is where Jesus' ministry is healing the sick. My goodness, this is the Son of God raising the dead. So what were they accusing him of? And who was accusing him? The religious leaders of the denominations of the day. Those religious leaders were saying, wait a minute. The only way you have power to cast out the demons, to heal the sick and to raise the dead, that you are of the devil, because they're Satan's demons, so therefore, because you're of the devil, you can cast out those demons. And so Jesus replies to them, really? That's a paraphrase from your preacher. Why would Satan, who is wiser than any of you, hey, you got a picture, Jesus, on this. why would he cast out himself from individuals? If I were of Satan, I would not cast out the demons of Satan. And then, as he continues in Luke 11:20, but if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. The kingdom of God has come to you. God's kingdom is here. I am offering you, God says, my kingdom. You are a part of my family, my kingdom. I invite you to come. I invite you to come because I love you. I invite you to come because my son died for you. My kingdom is here. Why do you not accept who I really am? Have you ever witnessed individuals with the problem of focusing more on a miracle than on the miracle giver? Or focusing more on things that will not last rather than the personality of God Himself through His Holy Spirit that lasts forever? The spirit of man will never die. Now listen to me. The spirit of man will never die. Those who accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will live throughout eternity with Him in His kingdom, the physical part, the spiritual part. You see, you and I can only think physically of what we see and touch. The Lord says, I'm not in that realm except to show you the realm in which you truly live, the spirit realm. You and I are spiritual beings. Once again, I remind you, we are a spirit with a body. We're not a body with a spirit. The real us is the spirit of who we are. And God's going to fix all the brokenness of our bodies one day. But right now, pay attention to your spirit. The real you that will last throughout eternity. Those who reject Christ, it's called a place called hell. It is a real place. It is a real concept. The sad thing, one of the great sad parts about hell, and the worst part of hell is it's where God is not. See, we're focused on God's love. You and I experience God's love. Even through our ignorance, we experience God's love. Hell is the absence of the presence of God. But it's not a place where people die. The scriptures say that there would call for the rocks and the mountains to cover them, but they would not. Hell is a place where individuals are continually dying but never able to die. See, we were created in the image of God to live forever. God does not back up on His creation and say, well, I made a mistake. No, God makes no mistakes. Every one of us will live forever. It's where we live that's going to matter. Forever with Christ. All these young folks, young Americans, are traveling overseas because they want to be a part of the destruction of Christianity. And they want to be a part of groups that want to destroy Christianity. Well, I'm just looking for a place where I fit in. Well, then stay there. I'm looking for a place to where, you know, I can make a difference. Had you ever thought about at the foot of the cross accepting the power of love from Almighty God to where you can touch the hearts of people through the love of God and change that you will see in those lives? Those lives will be changed by love, not by hatred, not by bitterness, not by the sword at the hand of man, but by the sword of God, which is His Word. Number three, we know what the kingdom of God is and is not. Folks, focus on what we know. And if we'll just focus on what we know, we won't get in these silly arguments about how many angels can sit on the head of a pin. As the little boy said, that's not my question. My question is, why would they want to? See, the questions that truly matter, God says, here's your answer. Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not, are you listening? Is not a matter of eating and drinking. Are you people over here, and you people over here, you are looking at others and saying, can you believe they ate that? Can you believe that preacher is getting fat as a pig and he still eats peanut butter fudge? I mix health food with that, White Castles. But you think of that, and we're looking at someone else's life continually. Why? The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but, listen to it, of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. Just because you and I eat the food that people tell us is not good for us does not mean we're not a part of the kingdom of God. What it does mean, obviously, in our society is there doesn't seem to be any safe food out there for us to eat. Because when it's safe this week, it's kill you next week, right? One thing about the love of God, it's constant. His everlasting arms are a constant in my life. It's not that I will look up and deal with my enemy. I look up and see my Savior, who has already dealt with my enemy. It's not my battle. Jesus is quite capable of defending Himself. I do not need to defend Jesus. But because I know that He's the Savior of my life, then I know that I must stand. What? Yeah, you know, they can kill you. Well, yes, they can, but they can only do it if God allows it. And if God allows it, there's a reason for it. And that's the love of God. You see, when you see that spirit that is within you, and you know that everything waiting for us is so great that the foolish problems down here will be counted as nothing. When you got that type of retirement you're going to, it's a working retirement. The scripture lets us know we'll forever be learning. Forever be learning. 1 Corinthians 4:20 on what the kingdom is and is not. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. But the power for a Christian is what the Christian should be exerting by the power of love to a lost and dying world. The Spirit of God is not talk. Oh, I'm a Christian. But now let me tell you, I'm such a good Christian. And we keep saying that, like they're trying to convince themselves. Okay, preacher, tell me how to be a good Christian. Here's your answer, the only one I can give you. You won't get the answer from me. It's the Holy Spirit in you. You are alive today because of what Jesus did, not based on what you do. God's love for you and me is not based on us always expressing love to Him. When you said yes to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, did that mean then that you never went back to any of the worldly things? Did that mean then when you expressed that love and you were saved that you stood with Jesus ever since? And if you say you have, you're lying, so you might as well mark that one up. You see, folks, you and I are still in a broken vessel. This body is carnal. Do you know why that Jesus will not present us to God the Father in the physical body? Because He says your bodies are corrupt. Your bodies are bodies of sin. And every day is a challenge for us to get on our knees and say, Lord, forgive me of the sins that I even know about. And Father, I know I've committed so many sins I didn't even know I was committing. I can say that because I know something. Jesus says, I want you to know. You see, I know that God's word is true. I know that when God says, I looked on earth and now I know. I'm sorry I made man. For now I realize that the heart of man is evil continually. You know, we say, well, I lost my temper. I just lost it, and what came out of my mouth is not really what I meant. When you lose your temper, have you noticed you don't even remember half the time what you did say? But you're so embarrassed about what you think you might have said that you go hide for a while and said, Lord, surely this too will pass. Number four, we know that the judgment of God has already started. Now you hear this well, folks. There's something about the Christian community today and our generation that has made individuals think that they, and I'm talking about lost people, that they can be a part of the Christian faith. Judgment of God has already started. Let me get this out of the way first. As a Christian, the judgment of my Father was passed to His Son, Jesus. All the sins that I've ever committed or ever shall commit cannot come into the presence of God because of who Jesus is and what He did on that cross. So that's not what I'm talking about. But listen, 1 Peter 4:17. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? But preacher, you just said that judgment can affect us. Here's something, again, that I've noticed. Folks, bad things happen to Christians. Christians bring bad things on them. We do that. But what Peter is telling to this godly flock, he is saying, listen to me. Does it not rain on you as well as it does on those who are unjust? Do you not get sick with the flu, with the viruses? Do you not break bones? Do you not, as a child of God, if you're farming, see bad years in farming, just like the person, other farmer across the field who does not know Christ? The judgment of our existence on earth, the completion of the final time of earth itself, we understand, as Peter was trying to say, the things that are going to hurt the lost are also going to hurt you. And if my children, us, if we are hurt by the concept that God has in play of nature and of life physically, then he says, what hope do those have who do not know the gospel? If you and I are sick, if you and I are hurting, if you and I are weeping, if you and I as Christians are broken on the inside, what hope is there for those who do not know Christ? It's a warning. Christians, you will go through as much hell on earth, if not more, than all the lost in the world will ever go through. You and I happen to have a Savior who said, I'm coming to set up my kingdom in you as an individual. That's why individual Christianity is the strength. It's the building block for the full body of Christ, the church, each one of us with those gifts. Finally, number 5. Oh, I love this one. The blessings of God are secure now and forever. Luke 18:29-30. I tell you the truth, Jesus said. I tell you the truth would be sort of like, pay attention. Because see, Jesus is truth. Always was and is. I tell you the truth, Jesus said to them, no one who has left home or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come eternal life. Preacher, I thought we were to take care of our families. Absolutely. But Jesus says, no one who has left home, or their wife, or their brothers, their parents, or even their children, for the sake of the kingdom of God, meaning for your calling. If I have a member of my family that is a non-believer, I will follow my calling to God. If I have members of my family who are believers, I will follow my calling to God. I will be sick like everybody else will be sick. I will be broken like everyone else gets broken. But inside each of us lives Christ, his kingdom. He took up residence. And he says, if the world mocks you and pushes you out on the street, and you're put out from your own blood, from your own family, for my sake, for the kingdom of God's sake, God says, then I will bless you many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life. How do you know when a person's called to preach? They preach. How do you know when a person's called to sing for the glory of God? They sing for the glory of God. It's not, as we saw, just talk. It's power. Therefore, the Lord says, don't you worry about it, Larry. I'll see to it your family's taken care of. I'll see to it everything gets taken care of. You turn and you go. But you do it out of love, not out of spite, not out of anger, but out of love. And when you do it with love, the Lord says, I'll give you so much. I'll many times as much now and in the age to come, eternal life. Already got it, folks. I may end up as a pauper going through garbage cans, but I got the kingdom of God in me. And all of us Christians who are digging out of the garbage cans, we'll ask God to bless that food because it's a gift from Him. Let's pray. Father, we praise Your name that You even allow us to follow Your teachings. That You, Father, have counted us as the creation, that as an individual that You want to bless, that You want to share Your love with. Help us, Father, that we will get out of ourself and get in to the love of everybody else. Give us strength, courage, and boldness. In Jesus' name, amen.